Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with your hosts, Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the final show of 2021. Before we jump over to 2022, no better way to probably wrap up the show. We have our good friend from DAT. Dean is going to be joining us here shortly. So stay tuned. If you got any questions, Dean's a great, he kind of really has a pulse. I'm not even going to say kind of. I'm really just going to say, you know, Dean just has the pulse of what is going on and what is taking place in the freight market. He does this stuff day in and day out, and he is abreast of all the different goings-ons behind the scenes and things of that nature. So if you got a question pertaining to anything freight market related, we got the guy for you that can probably answer your question tonight. With that being said, without any much further ado, I'm going to read Dean's report from DAT, the Trendlines report, showing that the price of diesel fuel, slight downtick, is down by 0.3 percentage points, showing a national average of diesel fuel at $3.62 per gallon. Holiday week leads to spot market premiums. Rates rise as drivers take time off. Spot market activity slowed last week due to Christmas, but the freight that moved did so at a premium. Capacity tightened, rates followed suit. With prices rising for all three major equipment types heading into the final days of the year. So let's take a look and see how these rates were performing over the previous week, starting out with the dry van segment up in the northeastern pocket corridor of the country. We're showing that the average outbound rate on the spot market up in the northeast is showing around $2.64 for dry vans. Moving down to the mid-Atlantic and southeastern states, we're showing that number at $2.75 on average. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing that number checking in at $3.19 per gallon, per mile. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing that the average outbound spot market rate checks in at $2.65. And coming out of the West Coast, wrapping up for dry vans, that number comes in at about $3.39. Shifting gears, jumping over to the skateboard portion of the report. Up in the Northeastern corridor, we're showing that number checks in at $2.97. Coming out of the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic states, we're showing that the flatbed average rate on the spot market at $3.14. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing that number for the average spot rate at $3.34. Moving out of the South Central region of the United States, that number for flatbeds is at $2.92. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing that number for flatbeds at $2.88. And shifting gears over to the final segment, the temperature controlled or reefer portion of the report. Starting out up in the Northeast, we're showing that rate for reefers is at $2.96. Coming out of the Southeast and Mid-Atlantic states, we're showing that average number comes in at $2.85. Coming out of the Midwest, we're showing that number at $3.80. Coming out of the South Central region, we're showing that number at $3.15. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, we're showing the number at 378. And with that being said, let me go ahead and welcome my co-host, Mr. Chuck Snow. Before I welcome Chuck to the show, though, if anyone that's on the line, if you're listening to us live, all you have to do is press number one. That lets us know that you raised your hand and that you'd like to get involved in the conversation. And we'll try to weave you in as quickly as we possibly can. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. There's no such thing as a dumb question. We always welcome your input here on the Rates and Lanes podcast. And now, with that being said, got that bit of housekeeping out of the way. Let's welcome my good friend and co-host of the show, Mr. Chuck Snow. Good evening, Chuck.
Rico, how you doing, buddy?
We hanging in there, Chuck. I might sound a little nasally. I hope I don't sound too bad, everybody. I'm not sure if I'm fighting off a little episode of COVID. Got running a little bit of temperature, got a little bit of a body ache, but hopefully, you know, we'll find out here in a couple of days. I'm waiting on test results, and hopefully, even if whatever it is, hopefully we have a speedy recovery from it.
Well, I certainly hope you do.
You know, this COVID thing, it's we're having a wave up of that, you know, here in Canada as well. Our numbers are, I think, higher than they've ever been. So, you know, this new Omicron seems to be quite contagious. So who knows where that's going to take us. I heard on the weekend. Flights canceled all over because flight crews are getting sick. That will certainly somehow play into the freight market. And speaking of the freight market, I'd like to welcome our guest, Dean Croak. Dean is the chief analyst over at DAT, and Dean has had 2 million miles trucking experience over in Australia, run a truck line in Australia, and he's an Instagram hit with the Grumpy Pete, that beautiful truck of his that you see on Instagram. So with no further ado, Dean, welcome to the Rates and Lanes podcast, and the last one for 2021, and we want to bring you in just to get that bird's eye perspective you have on the year that's just passed and what we have to look forward to for 2022. How are you tonight, Dean?
Yeah, great, Chuck. Thanks for having me on. Great to be with you, Enrico, again. It's always a pleasure. I'm kind of honored to be on the last show of the year. It's always a lot of fun to chat with you guys because this has been one of the most extreme years I think I've ever seen. I've only seen 20 of them in this country, or 21 now, but this is by far the most extreme. Even, I mean, just from a weather perspective, it's been absolutely crazy this year. We've, you know, we had the polar vortex in February. The market never recovered. Like, rates got to about 260 right after that polar vortex hit. And they've never gone below that, you know, maybe a day here or there. But if you look at the trend lines, it's been pretty much all uphill since the end of February, start of March in dry van, more so in reefer. It's been a crazy year. We've seen, you know, we like to look at seasonality, you know, like sort of the, you know, the produce season, the peak shipping season, right. You know, the stocking of inventory in fall for, you know, lawnmowers and things like that. None of that happened this year. It was one of the craziest years. And I think we've had nearly 18 months. We'll have probably 2 years of pandemic type freight market. It's going to rewrite all of our economics books, I think. There's so many things have changed. It's been just one of the more extraordinary years I've ever seen in my, and I think carriers would probably agree. There's been some crazy things happening this year, and I think that carriers have done pretty well this year. I know a lot of brokers have done well. Shippers are not happy, of course, as they've been getting double-digit rate increases for 6 quarters now. So they're stinging, they're hurting. So we can talk about
Well, you know what? They're hurting. But I have to tell you something, and I haven't really sat very frequently through the years on the shipper side of the table, you know, many years ago. But I got to tell you, the shippers overall, it's been a buyer's market overall for, you know, ever since deregulation in the U.S. and things changed then. You know, before that, it was, please, will you take my freight? And then once deregulation happened, the tables turned very quickly, which is all very fine. The, you know, the trucker has taken it on the chin. And now all of a sudden, this is our hour. Now, I don't know, and you would have a better idea than Rico and I do. How long is this going to last? Is this the new wave? Because we're still not getting a lot of new entrants into the industry. And I think that's going to be the big driver, is nobody to take that freight. Once they once they do start building new trucks again, you know, once we get over all these shortages, you know, who's going to drive them? Because nobody wants to do it.
You know, Chuck, it's a great point. It's been a buyer's market for a long time. And, of course, we saw it in 2016 when there was a freight recession. Things picked up 17, 18, then 19. It was like another mini freight recession. A lot of bankruptcies. You know, the big one, of course, at the end of the year was sort of Celadon, New England Motor Freight, early in the year. 2019 really hurt a lot of carriers. They, of course, they put a lot more money into equipment in late 2018, but had to pay drivers a lot more too. And, of course, come 19, when rates drop, you've got to have the higher cost base of wages. we're there again. Like we got to head into 2022 with rate increases of historic levels in most truckload fleets. And I think you'd agree, Rico would agree, I think rates, driver wages are where they should be. There's probably some more room to go further north because I think they're being paid close to what they're worth, given what they do. But I think there's a couple of things happening that give me pause to your thought about when all these trucks come out of the factories. I think the numbers that showed that truck orders in November fell substantially. They were down.
Right.
I'm just going to find the number here. New truck orders were down, I think, 82% in November compared to last November, but they were down 42% from October to November. Now, you'd know better than anybody, Chuck, but most times when there's cancellations of new equipment orders, it's the carriers doing the cancelling of the orders. This time around, it's the equipment manufacturers. So the OEMs
are
cancelling a lot of these orders. Yeah, and this is unusual. And that's what's got a lot of people interested because if you can't – so I think this plays into the hands of the shippers because – if they're slowing down their orders, I think it's a good move by carriers because, the new orders have been dropping for the last 4 months. Normally orders spike September, October, November, December, but they've been going the opposite direction. But I think this time around, given all of the uncertainty, this is a good move by carriers to cancel some orders because it provides them the flexibility to modify their fleet size depending on how uncertainties resolve themselves, you know, around COVID and inflation over the course of the year. And, of course, labor is still tight. So there's a lot of uncertainties. I see this playing into the hands of the carriers to keep capacity tight when demand sort of tapers off.
Yeah. At some point, demand will – has got to – it's got to change a little bit. And I don't – now, tell me what you think. I don't think it will for any time in the near future. I think we will – continue to have a robust trucking economy because there's still, like I was just for, I got a call from a customer last week looking for some capacity and they were looking for a situation where, drop trailers. And I looked in truck paper to see what was available in 53 102 inch dry vans. And actually, I think it was right after Rico and I had finished the show, it was a day later or a night later, and I was looking through the truck paper, and I was shocked. I was actually going to call Rico because it was like a 2012 dry van was going for $40,000 U.S.
Wow.
That thing was horrible.
Wow.
That thing sold for 20,000 Canadian in 2012.
Wow. Wow. Used truck prices are doubled in a year. A five-year-old truck with plenty of miles on it, not in good condition, up 96% compared to this time last year, according to JD Power. Everybody's paying a lot more for everything, trucks, trailers, diesel, oil. I think maybe this is the point you're getting to. It's costing us a lot more to run trucks. It's hard to claw back a lot of those costs, especially around driver wages. So my hope, and, hope's not a good strategy, but my hope is that carriers learned their lessons from 2018-19 and didn't just assume the good times would last forever. And because you remember, it was 18 months ago, trucks were protesting in front of the White House and the U.S. Capitol for record low spot rates. Since then, rates have doubled. Since they were in front of the White House. So now my fear is that, everybody has selective memories, shippers in particular, because shippers tend not to have the best memories, and they would forget the tight capacity of the last 18 months and then, of course, start driving the market down by putting some of their contract freight or as much as they can on the spot market. And then it's kind of this downward spiral. I hope carriers have got better negotiation skills and developed better partnerships with shippers and brokers and figured out that there's a floor to how low you can go because I see some of the loads getting posted on load boards and people are accepting them. Now, that's not on DAT or the brokers. That's on the carriers that are accepting these. So the industry's got to get a lot better at understanding cost and negotiating, because someone's hauling this freight that runs at very low rates. Luckily, in the last 18 months, people have been doing very well. I hope they've put a bit of money aside for, and I think this is a question you were asking, was, you know, I think the second half of next year will be very telling. I think we'll see pretty good demand for the first 6 months of this year. It looks like the current COVID variant looks like being a pretty quick one-and-done type deal. But again, we're still early days. Based on data in the UK and South Africa, they're two of the leading data points that I look at. They seem to spike quickly and then fall away. This good news for Rico, you know, people tend look like they're not nearly getting nearly as sick. Hospitalizations are down.
Right.
So I think that's good news, even, you know, because we need airlines running. We need planes full. We need jet fuel being hauled and used. So there's still a lot of uncertainties. But the thing that I think will keep truckers going, particularly dry van reefers that are hauling, you know, lighter retail freight, shippers, retailers in particular, the shippers and receivers are going to want to be restocking their warehouses. And I think that'll go on for at least the first 6 months of this year. So I see pretty good demand on that front. But, we're still not out of the woods yet on this from the pandemic's perspective and its impact on the market.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the other thing that's not going to stop is uncertainties with weather. We're already having it in Canada and parts of the U.S. with crazy amounts of snow. And we've had, like, the coldest place on earth yesterday was Grand Prairie, Alberta.
Oh, really?
Granted, it's there, but it was, I think, 47 degrees below zero. And at that point, it doesn't matter whether you're Fahrenheit or Celsius, they meet. Vancouver, British Columbia, which gets very little snow, very little cold weather. We have a daughter who lives there, and my wife and I were looking at it over dinner, and it was minus 11 and snow. Now that's Celsius, but still, that's you know, that's probably 15 to 18 degrees Fahrenheit. That's unheard of.
Yeah,
you know, that's
yeah.
Like, for American listeners, that's kind of like Seattle, a little bit north of Seattle. You don't get weather like that. It's just not normal. So there are changes. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't know whether this has got to do with global warming or just changes in the, you know, what's causing it. But certainly there is something. I will agree with that. There's a lot of things causing it.
The fact that Seattle has seen snow this year before Chicago has is a great example of how extreme things are. I mean, Chicago's about to break a 290-day record for the longest stretch without snow. So that's the Midwest, and I think winter storm Elmer's going to, you know, dump a bit of snow through the Midwest this week and single-digit temps tonight. It's going to be pretty cold out there. Any truckers listening need to be super careful in the Midwest tonight. But, you know, we've got the Donner Pass closed over I-80 this week. We've got snow and rain around Los Angeles, California. You know, the I-80 shut across the Donner Pass yesterday. Snow emergencies. We've got a, you know, the jet stream's dissected the country right now, and I think this is what's got me interested. I still see a lot of truckers out there running without chains and getting caught in snow and ice. Now, that's just unforgivable. You just, you know, guys have got to be prepared for this. And I think what's happening this year in particular, I think some of the guys that run, you know, when you run east, west, west, east, you get used to the weather in that latitude. But I think the guys that run south to north, and you only have to run a couple of hundred miles with a load and you can go from record hot temperatures in December to freezing cold, you know, in Minneapolis.
Sure.
It's not a big dividing line. I think that's what's happening. Some carriers are getting caught. And I think the thing that I'm also seeing is we've added, you know, nearly 102,000 fleets in the last year to the industry, of which 75,000 have been owner operators. And a lot of those guys are seeing their first winter on the road. It's their first winter. So I think that there's a lot of stuff going on out there that we've got to be super careful with from a driver perspective. There's a lot of uncertainty. My biggest fear, Chuck, Rico, is we repeat 2018-19 and we get into too much capacity. You know, carriers are going to be all over rebidding their contracts as soon as there's a sniff that the capacity is loosening. So you know, that could happen. we could see mini bids going in the other direction, not to try and secure capacity, but to try and drive down price and recoup all the double-digit rate increases from this year. That's what the free market does. So there's a chance that could happen in the second half of this year.
The only thing is, it still goes back to drivers, and we still, nobody can get in front of this one. You know, adding 3,000 young kids to the driver roster isn't going to help the attrition.
No.
Like my age leaving, and people a lot younger. You know, there's all sorts of people that have been doing it for the last year or two and don't like it. And all of a sudden you get a harsh winter and you get people that are stuck. You talk about being ill-prepared. You get somebody that's a little bit newer and they're not prepared at the side of the road with food.
Yep.
And they're shut down. It's even, even north, like Midwest states like Indiana, they shut a road down. And with these storms, they seem to have a lot more force than they used to. They may be shut down for longer periods of time. So some of those people are, trucking isn't in people's blood the way it used to.
A lot of them haven't got CB radio.
Love it.
They're isolated.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of guys are just isolated from their surroundings. We saw last week, I think it was in Michigan, a massive pileup of trucks and trailers and cars. But, heck, how does – if you had CBs on, you'd probably hear some of that chatter. But I'm kind of astounded that people don't have, CB radios, UF radios, just to communicate with other drivers. There's a lot of inexperience out there on the road. Of course, there's a lot of distracted car drivers also, with the proliferation of cell phones and other devices. Yeah, these are interesting times. I think carriers have got to be super careful, and I've been saying this for the best part of 9 months. Is that rainy day is coming. You've got to put money away, and don't assume that your operating costs and revenue levels are based on current rates. Even though rates at the moment are what are they up now? About I think the numbers close to 51 cents a mile on the spot market higher this week than this week last year. And even contract rates, like contract rates that are about 80% of the freight moved, they're 31 cents a mile higher than this week last year. So that gives you a sense of how high. We thought 2020 was crazy, right? 2021 is just even more crazy. So I think there's some uncertainty here. The thing that it's kind of astounded me is that when I look at all the pre-pandemic years going back before March 2020, and I look at the average spot rate, we are currently 75 cents a mile higher than the average of all of the previous pre-pandemic years. Now, remember, we were protesting $1.30 a mile. So when you look at – so right now, if you go back and look at the current average spot rate for dry vans for this year and look at all of the pre-pandemic years, right, going back to 2015, this week's rate is 75 cents a mile higher than the average, for December for the previous five pre-pandemic years. So it just shows you how disrupted the market's been post-pandemic, because it hasn't changed much in 18 months. We're still seeing a lot of loads going out with urgency because there's shortages. They're going out on time but not in full. There's a lot of part loads going in the market, so there's a lot more volume. Carriers are not doing as many miles because they're making more money per mile. But I think the other thing, though, and this is what I'm really looking for to change, is the velocity, the throughput, because there's too many trucks sitting on loading docks that don't have enough staff in warehouses. And I think I've often thought that maybe we've got enough trucks to meet the current demand. They're just not cycling through the network fast enough. And I think when we start to see the supply chain ease, when the supply chain disruptions ease, we could see capacity loosen, and that leads back to the truck cancellation piece to keep a lid on it, right? Because we can't repeat what we did in 2019 and have all these new trucks roll out the middle of next year, because you know exactly what's going to happen if they do that. So cancellations are probably something we've got to watch carefully.
Good point.
So here's a question for you. Here's a question for you, Dean. With everything that's going on and everything that you just stated about how much further we are sitting as far as the rate is concerned, do you anticipate a correction in that coming back down to coming back down to pre-pandemic levels?
Rick, that's a great question. The answer is no. I just don't see that happening, because we're starting off 2022 about 35 cents a mile higher than January this year. So any correction, I don't think we'll see the crash that we would normally see when capacity loosens. I think we'll see a correction, but it'll be back to more reasonable levels. I think we'll probably see something like 25 to 30 cents a mile come out of spot rates between now and the end of January. That's sort of worst case scenario. But I don't think they're going to drop too much below, you know, that $2 a mile mark for quite a while. I just don't see it happening. If it does, then we're going to see some carriers get into serious trouble. Because once you get to $2 a mile, you know, $2 a mile is about what you need to run your own authority and truck and trailer. But $2 a mile, you're starting to think about getting rid of that trailer and going back to being leased onto a larger carrier. And that's going to become very attractive, because contract rates that are being bid right now, which will be what 80% of freight is hauled at next year, shippers have been getting double-digit rate increases for 6 months, you know, in the 15 to 20% range. So the rates that are being negotiated on bids now are going to be pretty high next year compared to all previous years. And what that does, that tends to draw truck capacity back into the contract market, where rates are higher and the volumes are more consistent. And it takes volume out of the spot market, and then rates drop away. So I think there's at least 35 cents a mile potential to drop off in spot rates between now and the, you know, sort of the middle of next year. But contract rates are the thing that are very high at the moment, and that's what's going to keep truckers in pretty good profit margins, I think, provided they, you know, hold firm on their negotiations based on these higher operating costs that they've had to absorb. Because the big unknown is inflation, right? Is it transitory or is it here to stay? And I just don't have an answer to that. I know I'm paying a lot more for everything on my truck, but, you know, so is everybody. You know, it costs me more to buy food and fuel in the car. So, yeah.
It's pretty scary how volatile this could be. And you made a really good point about if they had the human resources at these warehouses to unload and load the trucks in a timely fashion, we would put a real dent in the capacity crunch.
Chuck, I don't know, forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but I had a friend of mine loading groceries in Eastern PA, and he said, I spent 27 hours waiting to load groceries, and he said, I got 18 hours detention. The biggest thing was I lost a $3,500 load coming back out of Charlotte. And he said, when I got there, of course, we all know that groceries are notoriously bad for, you know, delays. Some of my biggest delays have been on, you know, grocery stores, but, you know, because they don't pick until you get there, and then it takes forever for that trailer to get loaded. But he said, when I got there, they said, we just don't have enough staff. And they didn't have enough dock doors open. So you can see how, and I thought, well, 27 hours, that's an outlier. For sure, that's unusual. But let's just say that's happening across every single load in the long-distance truckload market, and you add 15, 20 minutes to every load. Suddenly you've got a lot of capacity that's not cycling like it would have normally. So that's that sort of velocity issue, which got me thinking that maybe we don't have a driver shortage. We just have a velocity problem. And this could turn out to be, if it is, then we could see capacity loosen as soon as the supply chain disruptions start to, you know, smooth themselves out. That's going to take, you know, a few months yet. So that's what I'm looking for, Chuck, is to see when staffing levels and warehouses start to come back, congestion starts to ease, inventory start to get rebuilt, chassis trailers under containers start to cycle quicker, shippers unload trucks and, you know, unload drop trailers and can drop 53s, you know, dry vans and drop 53 into modal boxes. They unload those quicker. As soon as we start to see that cycling, we'll have a better feel for where demand and capacity sit relative to each other. Mid-year kind of feels like when that'll be, and of course I'm the, you know, eternal optimist. I'm planning on vacationing next summer, and so I'm going to be spending some money on airfares, and I want to go overseas to the Tour de France again. But so
right.
If I'm doing that and everybody else is doing that in summer, do we see a switch back to more spending on services and restaurants and less on physical goods that trucks have been hauling in the last 18 months? And it feels like, you know, the middle of the year in summer, that could be a reasonable assumption, provided there isn't another curveball thrown at us. And, you know, we've just had this latest the latest COVID variant hit us. You know, we're weathering the storm to a degree, so still a long way to go. But that's kind of how I look at next year. We've, as an industry, the truck industry's done a fantastic job at handling all of what's been thrown at them. You know, becoming an essential service. Drivers have just done incredible jobs. We've had to, you know, as drivers, we've had to face incredible difficulty. You know, it's a job of isolation. You're on your own all the time. So you social distance for a living. And it's been incredibly difficult for drivers out there, more so than ever, because of truck stops closed down, dining areas are not available. Yeah. You know, the vending machines haven't been stocked at rest areas. They've been shut. It's been a nightmare for a lot of drivers that live on the road. So, I don't begrudge any of the profits they've been making. I think every shipper should be supporting, you know, their capacity. I just like to think that we've learned our lesson, and everybody remembers the last 18 months when we get to the middle of next year and capacity loosens. That's the optimist in we'll see.
Well, you know,
I guess you hear my smile laugh.
I did, yeah.
Dean, I heard that the average long-haul trucker in the U.S. is overall these days is logging 6.5 miles or 6.5 hours of trucking time a day. Like that's getting in the truck and driving his truck on the interstate at 60 or 65 miles an hour. He's doing that for 6.5 hours a day. The other 3.5 hours, 4 hours is spent either at loading docks, receiving docks, or stuck in traffic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I used to work at OmniTrax or Qualcomm, so I used to see this data, and I was constantly shocked at how little productivity, you know, the average truck driver got. Now, keep in mind that the average is, you know, it's like a bell-shaped curve, a big hump in the middle where there's a lot of drivers, but there's a lot of drivers out there that can run, you know, 10 and a half hours a day. You've got to have everything go right for you and not have much traffic and weather and you know, and be able to have a pretty good engine and drivetrain set up and, you know, be a good mile maker. That's the other part, is you've got to be able to do the miles. So I know some drivers that do that day in, day out, hard to sustain themselves. But if you said what's the average, when you look at all truckers across the country, it's about 6.8 over the course of a year in the sort of that medium haul range. You can get closer to 7.5 as an average in the long haul range out west. But even if you said, okay, let's call it 7 hours a day is the average you get on line three on duty driving, there's a lot of money that gets left on the table every day. And you've only got to go on social media and see where the other 3 hours or 4 hours goes. And as there's so much inefficiency in the dispatching process, you know, we could do a lot better with utilization if we were more efficient in how we manage drivers. I think there's one of our big weaknesses is the driver-manager dispatcher level in a lot of the contract freight companies. They could do a better job with, you know, coordinating their drivers and trucks and trailers. There's a lot of inefficiency. Weather, you get east of the Mississippi, heck, it's hard to have an average road speed that's higher than 47, 48 miles an hour. It's tough. And, of course, this is post-ELD era, right? In the paper log era, it was a different story. Now your average road speed's actually critical. And when you looked at the latest OIDA survey of the impact of the ELDs, one of the big findings was it made drivers more fatigued and it forced them to rush more. And, of course, you guys will see it on social media. You'll see I've posted them of pictures of drivers pulled up in a breakdown lane, sitting in their seat waiting for their 30-minute break, sitting in, you know, a sort of a painted traffic island, you know, coming out of Hartford on 95 North, it's just horrifying to see where drivers, you know, how bad they trip plan, and then they just think, oh, heck, I've got to pull up for my half-hour break. I'm up to the eight-hour mark. I've got to stop or I'll get a violation. So they pull up anywhere, and I think that's one of the unintended consequences of this regulation. But there's a lot of things that have changed since the ELDs came in, and I think it's just one of those things is lack of productivity. Compliance is high, but I just don't see drivers, you know, making as much money as they should, because if you're sitting on loading docks, unloading and loading, and even if you're only logging, you know, half an hour or 45 minutes or an hour, the 14-hour clock's going to catch you eventually, and you're going to run out of time. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of inefficiency in the industry. I've joked that the space between the bumper on the trailer and the dock door at the warehouse is where efficiency goes to die. And I think a lot of drivers would agree with that, because it's like a black hole of inefficiency. Nobody cares. They don't care that you took great risks to, you know, make a decent time overnight to be there on time, and then they ignore you and make you wait. So I think there's a lot the industry could do to make things more efficient with the trucks we've got, and forget this notion that we've got, you know, 80,000 drivers short. We need 18-year-old drivers. Like, that's not the solution. We need to get a lot better at managing what we've got before we start thinking about other areas to go fix.
Well, you know, it's funny. People will bend to accommodate when they have to. These big companies, you know, when they need a load, and it doesn't matter whether it's a grocery company or an automotive company, when they need freight that's on a particular trailer, they will somehow get it offloaded immediately.
Yeah.
For production. If you have a food product and it's going in a flyer, I've seen it myself where, you know, a driver shows up, he's a little bit late. Normally they say, well, you know what, you go back and rebook your appointment. No, get into door 23. We've got three homeowners waiting for you. And we're going to unload you right now, driver.
Yeah, it's amazing when there's motivation. Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's, you know, we've run into it with, you know, with our customers where we've sent drivers to go deliver, and, you know, they've got appointments, and some of these places actually, if they don't give you fines, the customer actually rates you. And if you want to have that link, you have to have, you know, a 97% score, and you get there and there's nobody to unload you, because they can't get labor. Now, some of these places, I think they've learned a hard lesson, and what they were doing prior, and they weren't prepared for it, they were using temporary labor services rather than have people on payroll. Okay?
Right.
And those temporary labor services, I'm not saying anything bad about them, they're great when, you know, in a pinch, but it's not a good idea to try to depend on temporary labor services to circumvent laws or to find cheap labor or to keep unions out or whatever your ulterior motive is.
Right.
Especially when that's in a market like this, when there seems to be a real shortage of qualified warehouse people.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't just stick some person on a lift truck that's never driven one before, or that hasn't had a lot of experience.
It's a bit like, you know, they said, well, let's just run the port of Los Angeles and Long Beach 24 hours a day. So we've already got two shifts. Let's just add a third. Well, where do you find experienced crane operators? Like, that you can't just invent some of these people to solve the problem. There's a lot more to it than just adding more labor. And then, of course, we've had a big shift in labor in almost every industry in the last year. In not just trucking, but every industry suffered right now. Even, you know, a lot of the people that were working in some of these locations have found other industries where there's more certainty. You can't blame people for, you know, changing careers during the pandemic when everything evaporated and millions were put on unemployment, you know, including me in March last year. You know, it was a very difficult time for a lot of people. And I think a lot of people said, you know what, I'm going to make some decisions and build a bit more certainty, because this has upset every expectation I ever had about, you know, work. Because generally with work, there's a fair bit of certainty. Sure, there's tight and loose labor conditions, but, you know, over my 44-year career of working, I've never had difficulty finding work because there's always been, you know, work out there. You're willing to look. You know, last year was the first time I'd ever seen in my life, just, you know, what was it, 11 million people went on unemployment, people just without jobs. It was just, it was sort of one of those, let's hope it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime events that we never see again.
You know, places closed. You know, I was with RICO last month in Nashville, and we went, we were there for that NASDAQ convention. It was fantastic. And after the night of our entertainment, we had a private showing, a private concert. It was fantastic with my only Judd. And after, we ended up having to have dinner at the hotel bar. None of us are bar foodies, but we went in anyways. And there had to be, Rico, were there 150 people sitting there at least?
At least.
There were two servers looking after, and you couldn't get mad at them because they can't hire anybody.
Right.
Nobody
wants
that job anymore.
Yep.
So you have two young guys looking after 150 people.
Right.
It's insanity.
And of course you got, you know, traditionally low vaccination rates with people that work in the service industry, especially in those part-time jobs, and they have a genuine fear of getting sick and taking it home to their parents. So I saw it in my wife's catering business because they have a lot of part-time people that work weekends at events. We saw it happen here. You know, there was a willingness to work, but they said, we're just afraid of being exposed. We just don't know. We don't know what we don't know, and we're scared. So I think that's been part of what's driven so many people out of the workforce. And then, of course, a lot of people just moved. They moved out of the cities. They moved to areas where they could work from home. You know, there's a lot of, you know, I see companies now trying to build their, you know, and this is not a new trend, but, you know, increasingly meeting people where they're at. You know, even, you know, I see companies now that 12 months ago were saying, we're going to reopen our offices and we're only hiring if you come back to work. Well, now I'm seeing those very companies saying, well, if you want to work from home, that's fine. We'll meet you where you're at. And so I think that's been one of the big things that's changed, because that affects all of the restaurants that we haul freight to in a CBD area that rely on traffic for that people come to work every day and walk past and buy a coffee. Like, so there's so much freight that's been disrupted in this market because of the way we've all changed our lifestyle, where we live, where we work, you know, not commuting to work anymore. It's just upset the entire freight balance, and I just don't know that it goes back to what it was. I think it would be unrealistic to think it goes back to what it was. We've just got to adapt to this new norm, which we've been very good at too. Like the trucking industry, you know, 3PLs, brokers have been exceptionally good at that.
I don't think it's going to go back to. There's no way it's going to go back to the way it was with people working in offices. In some industries, you have to have it. People have to be together. You have, certain industries that handle a lot of documentation where you just, they haven't, they really haven't been able to use technology to the degree that, you know, the trucking industry has, for example. We've done it.
Right.
As an industry, I think the trucking industry, that's why we did so well as an industry, keeping supply chains filled, was we weren't filling out a lot of manual time cards, and we weren't writing out orders like we did 40 years ago. You know, the customer downloads the requirements and we forward it to the dispatcher, and the dispatcher forwards it to the driver. It's all pretty slick. And
you know, Chuck,
that technology has allowed all sorts of companies, not just trucking and logistics, but to some degree in law offices and all sorts of different accountants' offices to work from home. And all of a sudden, you don't have your people. We have an office in Chicago that has well over 100 people. Nobody's been there since March of 2020. It's an empty office. It's a beautiful office. It's state of the art, but nobody uses it. Nobody. And when you ask our people, when you have a conversation, are you looking forward to going back to the office? And they go, God forbid, I don't want to go back there. I love working from home. And yeah. it's not that they're not working. As a matter of fact, we've had to tell several people in our organization that to cool it. You know what?
Yeah.
Don't be working 11 o'clock on Saturday night. You're going to burn out. That's not what we pay you for. You know, we want you there when you need to be there. We appreciate the fact that you want to, you know, you want to put in this extra time, but we're worried about you, you know, because you have to worry about your people sometimes. But, you know, all of a sudden these people are saving, you know, anywhere from 1 to 3 hours a day commuting. It's the wear and tear on a vehicle. It's clothes. You know, I wouldn't want to be in the clothing industry right now because people aren't, you know. When's the last time you bought a new suit? You know, I haven't bought one in over 2 years.
Years. I bought a lot of pajamas and track pants. Sweatshirt. Rico, did you, I think I cut you off earlier. Do you have a, you had a question or a comment?
No. I think when we were talking about the, I think we were talking about pricing, about the shippers might be in, be more benevolent this time around when it comes to pricing.
And you laughed. That's right.
I was just going to say that I think that, you know, for years and years and years, that's kind of what we've talked about. That's kind of really what how the show even got started. We talk about trying to make sure that everyone, as far as the driving community, small carriers, are informed as to how to get the best bang for their buck. And and with that being said, I just clicked back over on my switchboard. We got someone with their hand raised, so I always want to try to get our callers mixed into the show. So let me go to caller from a 705 area code. You're up live with Rico, Chuck, and Dean. What's your question? How can we help?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you this evening?
Good evening.
Great. How are you?
Good, good. Daryl here from Grunco Specialized. To your earlier comment, question for Dean. How do you feel when the government decides to try to start collecting back all the stimulus money they put out? Do you think that might affect the downturn in the market pretty quick when people's taxes are raised? And do you think that might happen this year?
No, gosh, that's not going to happen. Certainly not in the U.S. I think you're in Ontario, right? So is your question about the U.S. market or Canadian market?
U.S. and Canadian, because I run from Toronto to Seattle.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. They can't claw that back. Now, will we pay more in taxes to fund our road development with the infrastructure bill? Probably. I'm more than happy to pay a bit more to have our roads fixed. But no, I don't think that's going to happen. I've not heard that, and I certainly not heard that from the small businesses that I've talked to. So no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're a long way away from being out of the woods where anyone could even make that call. Now, have there been some people that have done the wrong thing and claimed benefits when they shouldn't have? Sure, there's lots of cases in before the courts where people have done the wrong thing, but I think the vast majority of people it's been what's got them through. I know I'm one of those people. A lot of people in my wife's catering business wouldn't have survived without benefits. A lot of motor carriers wouldn't have survived without PPP loans last year, big and small. So I don't see that being clawed back. I think that would be a disastrous outcome if any government decided to do that.
I think they overspent, and I think at some point they've got to start taking it back, especially with the unemployment. Like you said, it doesn't matter where you go, grocery warehouse, McDonald's, like one place in Wisconsin, they're offering a $1,600 sign-on bonus to work at McDonald's. So there's obviously a lot of people sitting back, relaxing, and I think the money is going to dry up eventually.
It's an interesting question. I mean, that was floated around when the pandemic money was being thrown out, and they pulled that back in September. But when they stopped the unemployment benefits in September, that didn't make a meaningful impact on labor, the labor market. Everyone thought, oh, people suddenly come back to work. That wasn't the case. There's a lot of people out there that are genuinely, you know, they've changed jobs. They're working from home, or they've become the primary caregiver at home. They're looking after children. They've moved. There's a big shift in the labor force it's far more nuanced than just thinking that it's unemployment benefits and people sitting on a lounge. Did that happen for a little while? I'm sure it did. But when September came, unemployment numbers didn't, you know, the labor market didn't suddenly become flush with a lot of people that were looking for work. So I think there's something more fundamental that's changed in our labor force. Notwithstanding the fact that a lot of people, baby boomer generation, retired and left the industry, you know, at a far higher rate. A lot of females have left the workforce at a much higher rate than males. There's a lot of changes that have gone on that have just meant that there's just less people available. So I think it's more nuanced than just the unemployment benefits, but they can't take that back, and I don't know that they should.
The tax rates may be raised to make it harder on the trailers. Like Chuck was saying earlier about trailers, I'm looking for trailers, and I see some prices on dry vans at $92,000 US. I need trailers, but I'm not buying any. You know, I just can't do it. You know, that's I'm hoping to sit back and unfortunately watch one of these guys go down, unfortunately, and maybe I can pick up some fairly cheap from the bank, right? So curious on how people think it's going to play out with the government side to try to cool
the market. I don't know, Darryl. I think that free market forces are going to determine this. You know, fuel prices are up because we're driving more and we're demand's high, you know, like this. But freight rates are record levels also. So I think there's going to be a turn in the market at some point this year. And you could be right. There could be a lot of trailers that'll hit the market. And there could be a lot of trucks hit the market in the second half of this year too. So it remains to be seen how that all pans out. But one thing's for sure, this market will turn. I think that we just don't know when, because there's too many uncertainties right now. But, paying the sorts of money people are paying for trucks and trailers now. I think, Darryl, it's an interesting question, because we said, well, where are all these drivers getting the money to buy these trucks that are double the price and these trailers that are double the price? Well, Professor Miller from Michigan State University did a study, and he said it looks like a lot of people have been using higher equity values in their primary homes, which have increased in value. So as their primary residence increases in value, it allows them to get home equity loans to buy these trucks. Because I couldn't figure out how a new entrant, and there's been 102,000 new companies in the last year, and 73,000 owner-operators, you know, they're paying, without experience, you're paying upwards of 20 grand per powered unit for insurance alone. So I couldn't figure out how people are affording all of this.
They're literally betting the ranch.
Exactly. So when this turns, and I hope this doesn't happen, but it could turn and this could go south very quickly for a lot of people. So that's when I said when I kicked off the show that I hope we've learned our lesson from the 18-19 cycle and we don't sort of drop rates too low, because that'll be disastrous if we go back to where we were when we were protesting in front of the Capitol 18 months ago.
Unfortunately, I think people haven't learned their lesson, and I think it will happen again. It's tough.
Yeah, except for one thing. The only difference this time is there has not been the availability of new trucks or trailers for enough people to get themselves into trouble.
Right.
The market protected them miraculously.
On one of the other rates and lanes on Facebook, I was just reading that some private equity firms, why the rates are going up on the trailers so high in 2022, a bunch of private equity firms have seen it, and they've actually went into the manufacturers and bought trailers because there's reefers now. Just a standard reefer is $135,000 U.S. as a standard.
Wow.
That's nothing special.
Wow.
And they're buying them up at a price and then jacking up, try to utilize this high time. But on the other side, I talked to my representative at C.H. Robinson. We got into a very lengthy conversation. And for some reason, C.H. Robinson thinks that it's going to end in February. That's what they're forecasting with private conversations. They think the market's going to return in February because they're having to throw money out the door. So, you know, I agree with everything you're saying and with Chuck.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm looking at other stuff and I'm like, okay, how is this really going to affect me? And I'm a fairly new carrier. I'm just past my fifth year. So I'm trying to do the right thing and pay attention, right?
Yeah, that's that February. Gee, February's optimistic, but heck, I've been wrong so much in the last 18 months. I'm not going to get out too far out of my skis. But wow, February seems a little bit too soon. I still think there's a lot of inventory replenishment to go on. I think, Darrell, the thing that, you know, national average rates will certainly come down, but there's going to be a lot of opportunity on certain lanes where there's a lot of demand. So, you know, out of Seattle, you're going to see a lot of import volume coming in from China into Seattle and trying to get its way to Chicago because the rail line off the docks are going to be congested and lacking capacity. So I think you'll see good opportunity there. A lot of opportunity out of Los Angeles to Chicago. So I think there'll be certain lanes. You know, the analogy that a rising tide lifts all boats won't apply. So I think even though rates fall across the board, there'll be some lanes where capacity will be very tight. But it's for things that you wouldn't normally think of because the congestion in Los Angeles has pushed a lot of container ships into Seattle and Prince Rupert, British Columbia. So that's where you've got to keep your eye on things outside the trucking industry that are driving the demand side.
Yeah, and on top of that, though, Dean, they're now sending the container vessels the other way into some of those east ports in the Carolinas and Florida.
Yeah.
Apparently, because there's, you know, you don't have the tie-ups there. Because we're only hearing about what's sitting in the berth and in the harbor, but apparently there's literally dozens and dozens of container ships sitting outside a 150-mile zone of California.
Yep. There's one point, I counted them this morning, there's 97 container ships with about 1.1 million 20-foot equivalent units, so that's 1.1 million or 650,000 40-footers, waiting on average 19 days to unload it on the West Coast. So to put that into perspective, Los Angeles and Long Beach bring in about 900,000 containers a month. So we've got more than a month sitting there in that sort of choke point between here and Asia. And to, you know, to help expand on Darrell's point, that's why you're seeing, Chuck, more volume in New Orleans, smaller ports where a lot of these smaller vessels that have been chartered by 3PLs and big brokerage firms are coming in with customer freight. And it's caused all these lanes to pop up with no contract rates. They're all spot market loads because a vessel has dropped 200 containers for a big retailer in a place that no one's ever thought about before. So that's why we're seeing big volumes in Charleston because people were avoiding Savannah. So there's a lot of opportunity, I think, watching the port markets, a lot of opportunity for dray carriers and people looking to get out of that market with, you know, something that can be transloaded, you know, freight that can be transloaded into a 53.
Yeah.
I don't stop here and let the clock get away from me. So real quickly, Dean, let the folks know how they can get a hold of.
So we're at, you know, I do a weekly market update, dat.com/market update. We're on all the social media platforms. Just search for DAT Freight and Analytics. And if you've got any questions, just shoot us an email, and it's askiq@dat.com. So it's askiq@dat.com, and we'll do our best to get back to you with an answer, providing we've got the data. Really appreciate you having me on the show, guys.
Oh, love having you, man. Very happy New Year and a healthy New Year
Likewise.
To you and your family.
Thank you. You get better soon, Rico.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Chuck.
All right.
Let the folks know how they can get hold of it.
Well, they can give me a call at any time. My extension is 203. Phone number is 1-800-388-4352. Again, extension 203. or send me an email. It's just chuck@traffix.com, or send me a private message on Instagram at chucksnowceo. If I can help anybody get set up with Traffix as a carrier, or if you're having some issues in your business, but anything I can do to help you, please let me know. It gives me an opportunity to give back to all our listeners. I wish everybody a very safe, healthy, and prosperous 2022. Rico, I'm going to let you back into that hole, and you're off the bed, buddy, and you better get some rest and some chicken soup.
Absolutely, absolutely. We want to thank you guys out there, the listeners. We appreciate you guys taking the time so much. We appreciate you so much for taking the time to listen to, whether you download it or you listen live. We greatly appreciate it. With that being said, we want everyone out there to stay safe, stay healthy, keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise, and God willing, we'll talk at the same time, same place next year. Good night, and God bless everybody.
Good night. God bless. Happy New Year. Catch on the flip-flop.